We're going to be looking tonight at Ecclesiastes again. It's going to be Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I'm going to read out the text now for John before we sing another hymn. So it's chapter 12, verse 9 through to 14. It'll be up on the screens as well. Starting at verse 9. Besides being wise, the preacher also taught the people knowledge, weighing and studying and arranging many proverbs with great care. The preacher sought to find words of delight, and uprightly he wrote words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and like nails firmly fixed are the collected sayings. They are given by one shepherd. My son, be aware of anything beyond these. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. Amen.
Thank you, Joshua, for leading this evening. I have been in services where the person leading has taken sometimes 45 minutes or even 50 minutes, and it puts you under pressure. But you've taken 16, and that's great. It gives me three quarters of an hour. So wherever I go in the next year, I'm taking you with me to lead. That's great. So could I thank you for the invitation to be along here today? Thank you for your warmth. I commend you for your warm welcome that you've give to me the last time I was here, and also today, and to my wife also. It's very much appreciated, and you're to be greatly commended for that. And we trust the Lord will bless you in coming months and years here in Great Victoria Street. So we look this morning at Ecclesiastes chapter 7, and we'll look briefly at Ecclesiastes 12, where Solomon now comes to the conclusion of his great quest to find out, does life have any meaning? So when we were driving down to Belfast this morning, in Sunday sequence, they have someone on each week giving review of a recommendation of some books. And the lady who was doing it this morning, one of the books she chose was the book of Proverbs, because she said that what Solomon says makes you think. You have to think deeply at times about it. And it just brought to my mind a story about a man who once set up a business selling brains. And he brought someone in to have a look around, and he saw one brain, and he says, what's that one there? He says, well, that was the brain of an astronaut. I'm selling that for £2,000. And the next one, what's that there? That is actually the brain of a brain surgeon. I'm selling that for £3,000. And he says, what about that one over there? He says, that's the brain of an Irishman, and that costs £5,000. And he says, why does an astronaut cost £2,000, brain surgeon £3,000? Why does the brain of an Irishman cost £5,000? He says, it's never been used. And you know, that, well, obviously that's a joke, you know that. But one of the problems is we don't use our brains. We don't think. And in my version of the Bible, here it says, verse 10, the teacher searched to find just the right words. And so when you read through Ecclesiastes, you say to yourself, what's this about? But it must be about something, because Solomon invested much time and effort to find just the right words and set them out in just the right way. And we need to think about it. We need to think, first of all, what's he saying? Why is he saying it? Who's he saying it to? What can I learn from this about God, about life, about me, about the spiritual battle? There is truth here that can only be obtained by digging deeply. And let me commend this book to you, because I have found it over almost 39 years a Christian, a wonderful book, and full of such insight and wisdom and spiritual truth. And it is well worth investing the time in thinking deeply about what Solomon is saying. So hopefully I have a little image here coming up. Many years ago, I was bringing our two sons home from school. Martin, the youngest son, some of you might know Martin, was just about 13 then. And for some reason, we were having a heated debate in the car, I don't know what about. And as we got out of the car to walk around the back of the house, I noticed beside the garden there was a bamboo stick line. So I picked it up, and Martin immediately says, "If you hit me with that stick," now I'm going to leave the rest of that for a wee while, we'll come back to it again, but it could have gone two ways. "If you hit me with that stick, I'm going to hit you back. Or if you hit me with that stick, I know it's for my good and I'm going to be thankful for it." So you can let that go on in the back of your mind and we'll come back to it a wee while later. But it's an interesting question. What did he say? What did he say? And every day we're confronted with questions, some of them interesting, some not interesting, some important, some unimportant. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon sets himself this question, a question that is asked by every generation. Chapter 1, verse 3, "What does man gain from all his labor at which he toils under the sun?" In other words, does life have any meaning? And go on the internet, go on Amazon, just search for "does life have a meaning?" and you'll see that there are dozens, hundreds of books have been produced on this subject. What is the meaning of life? Now notice that Solomon asks the question, what does man gain from all of his labor at which he toils under the sun? That's important. In other words, under the sun without reference to God. In other words, when God is left out of the picture, is there any purpose to life? Is life simply one gigantic, monotonous cycle of working, eating, sleeping, until one day we don't wake up? Chapter 1, verse 4, generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun sets and hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the north and turns to south, turns to north. Round and round it goes. All streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. All things are wearisome, more than one can say. The eye never has enough of seeing. The ear never has enough of hearing. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. And so Solomon says it's just one big monotonous cycle of events that just goes on and on and on. And in the course of 12 short chapters, Solomon tells us what he was searching for, how he went about it, and what he discovered. And now, as he comes to the end of the book, he gathers together a number of important truths and draws his conclusion. And so we're going to think of three points this evening. First of all, the gift that God gave to Solomon. Secondly, the gift that Solomon has given to us. And thirdly, the gift that God, or the gifts that God has given to us. So the gift that God gave to Solomon, verse 9, "Not only was the teacher wise, but also he imparted knowledge to the people." So God had given to Solomon the gift of wisdom. As King, Solomon was in possession of unimaginable riches and treasures and influence and power. But the greatest treasure that he possessed was not the magnificence of his kingdom or his money or material things, but his wisdom. And as we looked at briefly this morning, his wisdom wasn't inherited from his parents or gained by study and education. It was a gift from God. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 12, God asked Solomon, what do you want? And Solomon says, "Give me wisdom." And God says, "Because you haven't asked for wealth or honor, I'm going to give you wisdom. But more than this, I'm also going to give you great wealth and great honor so that there will be never have been a king like you." So his wisdom was given to him by God. Knowledge is information, it is understanding, it is experience. But wisdom is the ability to use knowledge to its best advantage. And as we see in Proverbs chapter 4, that wisdom is a treasure beyond price and beyond compare. Proverbs 4 and verse 7, wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. Though it costs you everything you have, get understanding. And Solomon's wisdom taught him what his priority should be to get to the root, to get to the foundation, to get to the spring from which all of life flows. In other words, what is the meaning and the purpose of life? We set ourselves many objectives, many questions. We pursue many different avenues and many quests that at the end of the day aren't really that important. But Solomon gets right here to the root, right to the root. What is the meaning of life? So his wisdom taught him what his priority should be, and his wisdom taught him what his perspective should be, to share God's gift with others. Not only was the teacher wise, but also he imparted knowledge to the people. A few weeks ago, I had to go into the hardware shop in Larne. I needed a few little staples, and I asked about getting 6 or 8 staples. And you may know this now, you don't get 6 or 8 staples. You have to buy a whole packet, £1 for a whole packet, so most are still in there. So you can't just buy a few nails or a few staples now, you have to buy the whole packet. So I was able to use what I needed, but I have a whole lot of staples here that I can share with others if they need them. But God gives Solomon the whole packet, the whole packet. I will give you wisdom so that there will never be anyone before you or after you will have the wisdom you have. And as it were, God gives Solomon the whole packet, and Solomon wanted to share with others. Not only was the teacher wise, but also he imparted knowledge to the people. So as God's gift to him, Solomon understood that his wisdom wasn't to be hidden or hoarded, but to be used for the benefit of other people. Also, he imparted knowledge to the people. Well, what other people? Well, I suggest all people of his own generation, and all people of every generation, and that includes us. Solomon wants to share God's gift with us. And how does he do this? By giving us the best he could. The second sentence in verse 9, he pondered and searched out and set in order many proverbs. So he invested time and effort in research and reflection, in compiling and setting out what he had learned in a way accessible to all of us. He pondered and searched out and set in order many proverbs. So he didn't just come out with a series of random thoughts or like if I'm preparing a sermon, sometimes I have a notebook and thoughts come into my mind and I jot them down and sometimes I use them and sometimes I don't. But Solomon set all this out in an orderly fashion. And verse 10, and the teacher searched to find just the right words, and what he wrote was upright and true. And words are important. So let's go back to the story of Martin and the bamboo cane. He says, if you hit me with that, what'd they say? A what? He'll hit me back. Pardon? He'd run away. Oh, you see, you're making me regret the past. Don't say the former days were better than these, if only. Any other suggestions what he'd said? He told his mummy too many things. A 13-year-old boy, if you hit me with that stick, any last suggestion? No? You ever been in that position? Okay, you can imagine this wee 13-year-old boy. And I wasn't only his father, I was his pastor. And I lifted up this stick, and he says, if you hit me with that stick, I'm going to sue you for every penny you've got. This wee boy, I'm going to sue you for any penny you've got. But you see, the words just come out of his mouth. He didn't take time to think about it. You're wondering what happened. I told that story in Larne one time, and somebody asked me afterwards, well, what did you do? And so I told the next week, I did what the Bible teaches. So you can work that out for yourself. But the word just came out. But Solomon wasn't impetuous. He took the time to find just the right words. He made every effort to avoid obscurity and ambiguity and trivial issues and anything that would distract from his main objective, which was to give us truth. And why did he want to do this? Because verse 11, the words of the wise are like goads. Goads is defined as anything that urges to action. The words of the wise urge us to action. And like nails, like firmly embedded nails. So they're like nails, established, secure, dependable, and immovable. So wisdom is both strength to hold us firm, to keep us stable, and it is security to keep us in the right track. And if you were to be applying for a job, it would require certain criteria for you to get an interview. If you were wanting to apply for a university, you would have to have certain qualifications before you'd be considered. But here is Solomon's School of Wisdom. Here is Solomon's School of Wisdom. And it's open to every one of us every day to take 10 minutes, to take half an hour, to sit, as it were, at Solomon's feet and to learn what he has discovered about life. So here is a gift that God gave to Solomon, the gift of wisdom, which Solomon wants to share with us. So what are the gifts then that Solomon has given to us? Verse 13, now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. When it comes to spiritual matters, we are all to some degree narrow-minded, short-sighted, and hard of hearing. And when you take time to study Ecclesiastes, you will see that Solomon is remarkable for the length and the width and the depth of his wisdom and understanding, and for his ability to translate what he has learned into words suitable for us. So we looked this morning at chapter 1, verse 13. I devoted myself to study and to explore by wisdom all that is done under heaven. I devoted myself to this task. So Solomon has observed, he has inquired, he has pondered, he has tasted, he has tested, he has examined, he has explored, he has experimented with all that life has to offer. He has looked farther than any of us could. We're thinking, what do we think about? We think about what we're going to be doing next week. We think about next weekend. We think maybe about Christmas. We think about our holidays next year. Solomon has looked right down the road to the very end. He has looked farther than any of us could. He has delved deeper. He has scanned wider and he has searched longer. He has denied himself nothing. He has fully examined all of life under the sun in all its variety, diversity, and complexity. He has taken great care to write down and record what he has discovered about life in this world. And I'm going to summarize in five brief points, what Solomon has discovered. And the first point is this, that life is unrewarding. Chapter 1, the eye never has enough of seeing, nor the ear of hearing. There is nothing new under the sun. Chapter 5 and verse 10, whoever loves money never has money enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. Chapter 6, verse 7, all man's efforts are for his mouth, yet his appetite is never satisfied. And so what he's saying here, life is unrewarding. There is no final reward. Whoever loves money never has money enough. The man with a million wants more. The man with a billion wants more. There is never enough. There is no final reward. There is no ultimate satisfaction. Man can never see enough. He can never hear enough. He can never do enough. He can never attain enough to find what he's really searching for. That inner rest for his soul. I brought with me this book by Timothy Keller, The Reason for God. And in one of the chapters, he writes a quotation from Somerset Maugham. If one puts aside the existence of God and the survival after life as too doubtful, the answer is plain, but so unpalatable that most will not face it. There is no meaning for life. Therefore, life has no meaning. John Paul Sartre. It was true. I had always realized it. I hadn't any right to exist at all. Here we are eating and drinking to preserve our precious existence, and that there's nothing, absolutely no reason for existing. These are educated men, wise in wisdom in the world's sense, who have thought these matters through and realized that, you know, when you leave God out, life has no meaning. We have no purpose. We have no reason to exist. So Solomon sees this, first of all, that life is unrewarding. Secondly, life is uncertain. Chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. There is a time for everything. But the point is this, that these times are not under our control. Chapter 9 and verse 12, no man knows when his hour will come. I mentioned this morning that man in Larne, his daughter went to school with our granddaughter out mowing his garden a few Mondays ago, 44 years old, just like that, gone. And life is uncertain, and none of us knows what tomorrow holds. So life is unrewarding, life is uncertain, life is unfair. Chapter 4, verse 1, I looked and saw all the oppression that was taking place under the sun, the tears of the oppressed. They had no comforter. Power was on the side of the oppressors, for they had no comforter. Chapter 7 and verse 15. In this meaningless life of mine, I have seen both of these, a righteous man perishing in his righteousness and a wicked man living long in his wickedness. Chapter 8, verse 14. Here is something else meaningless that occurs on earth. Righteous men who get what the wicked deserve and wicked men who get what the righteous deserve. We have all seen that. We have all experienced that life is unfair. It's not fair. It's just not fair. And this is one of the grievous facts of life that disturbs all of us. So I want to tell you another little story here in case this gets too intense. If we have a slide. A few years ago, Martin, now having forgiven me for hitting him with that bamboo, bought his mummy a coffee maker. And it came, he ordered it off the internet, and it was delivered to the house. And a few days later, a second one came. And I said to him, Martin, a second one has come, you need to ring them up. So he rang them up, the firm up, and they said, just keep it. So here is my question to you. Who does the second one belong to? Martin didn't pay for it. He ordered it. The second one came, so he didn't pay for it, but it was addressed to my wife. So who did it belong to? Okay. Who thinks, and put your hand up, or you don't have to if you don't want to. Who thinks it belonged to Martin? He didn't order the second one. Where's my bamboo? Who thinks it belonged to us? Well, I thought it belonged to us. But one night, Martin was coming to our house, and I was going out, and I saw the coffee machine sitting in our utility room, and I knew that's for him. And so I took it out and hid it in the garage, and I had to go out and do some visits. And when I came in, the first question I was asked, where is it? So I had to hand it over, and she gave it to Martin, and so he ended up with a coffee machine, so it essentially cost him nothing. And life is unfair. And we all experience that. You know, times when things just aren't right, they're just not fair. Life is unrewarding, life is uncertain, life is unfair, life is unsympathetic. Chapter 2, verse 18. I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun, because I must leave them to the one who comes after me. And who knows whether he'll be a wise man or a fool, yet he'll have control over all my work, into which I have poured my effort and skill under the sun. This too is meaningless. And my heart began to despair over my toilsome labor. So he's working, you're working, and you know someday you're going to die. And everything you've worked for is going to be left to those who come after you. And he says, this is just so hard to think about. Life is unsympathetic. Chapter 1, verse 11, where he's talking about life will come to an end. There is no remembrance of men of old. Even those who are yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow. Most of us can trace our ancestors back a few generations. But what about those who went before, who struggled and sacrificed and worked so we could have life? And now they're all forgotten. We don't even know their names. I could tell you my grandfather's name. I don't think I could go beyond that. But they lived and they worked. For us, they didn't know us, but we're enjoying the benefit of their labors. And it's not going to be any different with us a few generations down the road. We'll be forgotten also. So life is unrewarding. Life is uncertain. Life is unfair. Life is unsympathetic. And death is unrelenting. It is irresistible and it is irreversible. Chapter 2, verse 16. For the wise man, like the fool, will be not long remembered. In days to come, both will be forgotten. Like the fool, the wise man too must die. Chapter 3, verse 19. Man's fate is like that of the animals. The same fate awaits them both. As one dies, so dies the other. Chapter 9, verses 5 and 6. The living know they will die, but the dead know nothing. They have no future reward, no further reward, and even the memory of them is forgotten. And so what's Solomon's conclusion to all this? Look at chapter 2 and verse 17. And so I hated life. I hated life. I was disgusted with life. That is life without God. And what he says is really saying here is that life without God doesn't work. It can't answer the questions on our minds. It doesn't satisfy the hunger in our hearts, and it can't meet the eternal needs of our souls. Chapter 12, verse 1, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Remember, first of all, that we have been created, that God created us, and he created us for himself, and he created us with a deep, deep yearning in our hearts for him. As I referred to C.S. Lewis this morning, Mere Christianity, we are to run on God. We need God. But we don't want to believe it. We don't understand. We don't want to believe it. We think we can do it by ourselves. By the way, I came upon an interesting statistic a short while ago. It was on a quiz program on TV, and they asked the question, what is the most often requested song at funerals? That is funerals of non-Christians. The song that is most requested at funerals, you know what it is? I Did It My Way. And what an arrogant, disrespectful attitude to have. It's our hearts. We did it our way because we don't want to do it God's way. We want to do it or way, and it can never work. So here is the ultimate wisdom, verse 13. Now that all has been heard, here is the conclusion. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Faith, trust and obey. Trust God always, even when we don't understand. Obey God always, even when we don't want to. This is the source and the substance and the secret of wisdom. It is faith in God. Anything we might want to do, Solomon's done it. Anything we might want to see, Solomon's seen it. Anything we might want to hear or try or taste, Solomon has done it all. And here is his only acceptable conclusion. Fear God and keep his commandments. And we should listen to Solomon, for there was never anyone like him except one. Matthew 12, verse 42, our Lord Jesus Christ says, a greater than Solomon is here. And what does he tell us? Mark 11, verse 22, have faith in God. That's Solomon's conclusion as he examines life in this world. His conclusion is this, that there are many things that are dissatisfying, hard to accept, hard to understand. The only ultimate conclusion is faith in God. So the gift that God gave Solomon was wisdom. He wants to share it with us. So he has told us life is unrewarding, life is uncertain, life is unfair, life is unsympathetic, and death is unrelenting. And let me just mention briefly the gifts that God has given to us. To each one of us here this evening, God has given us three gifts. First of all, talents. You know the parable of the talents in Matthew 25. To one the Lord gave one talent, to another five, to another ten. But God has given to each one of us gifts and abilities and opportunities. They're not all the same, but they're being given for the same purpose, to bring glory to God. God gave Solomon wisdom. He used his wisdom to bring glory to God. And the gifts that God has given to us are to be used for his glory. Our gifts are not to be squandered or hidden away, but used. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 1, cast your bread upon the water, for after many days you will find it. Verse 6, sow your seed in the morning and evening, let not your hand be idle, for you do not know which will succeed, either this or that, or whether both will be equally well. We are to be active in God's service. Chapter 9, and verse 10, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. So God has given us talents to be used for his glory. Secondly, he has given us truth. Verse 14, for God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. And God hasn't hidden the truth from us, nor dressed it up in flowery language. Here is the constant testimony of Scripture. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Solomon was very wise. He was able to get to the heart of a matter and identify the top priority. And his exhortation of faith is not based on material or physical or temporal motives, but on the prospect of judgment. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man, because God will bring every deed into judgment. In the world, the subjects of judgment and punishment are not taken seriously. Here is something disturbing that I came upon recently. If we have a little slide. Those are T-shirts you can buy. Hell was full, so I came back. Go to Amazon and look that up. You can buy them in children's sizes. Imagine buying your child something like that. And you know what the caption is for it, or how it's advertised? A funny T-shirt. A funny T-shirt. Hell was full, so I came back. And in the world, these matters are not taken seriously. But as those who believe the Bible, we should never lose sight of this truth. And we should live out our lives as those who who will have to give account. God has given us talents, he has given us truth, and he has given us time. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. In other words, where you are now. In other words, what Solomon is saying, set matters right with God now, for death is quickly approaching. Over this weekend, and the same could be said for any weekend in the UK, there have been a number of tragedies. In the early hours of Saturday morning, 8 people were killed in the M1 in England. Their little van crushed between 2 lorries. There were 5 people died in the Alps. There was a woman drowned the other night in Loch Earn. And last night, down near Castlewell, there was a man killed on a motorbike. Did they expect to die? I'm sure they didn't. I'm sure they all had plans for next week. Were they ready to die? Were they ready to die? And here is the point. They're dead, but you're not. You're not. God has given you time. God has given you time. It is a gift that will one day be brought to an end, but we have it today. If you're here this evening and you're not a Christian, let me encourage you to consider the claims and the invitation of Jesus Christ. I was speaking at a meeting not long ago and talking about Usain Bolt, who's been in the news because he has now been beaten. And I remember one time he was interviewed on television and they said, describe yourself in one word. And he says, awesome. Usain Bolt says, I am awesome. But Jesus Christ says, I am meek and humble in heart. Come to me and you will find rest for your souls. And perhaps you feel this evening that you're just not in the right relationship with God that you should be. Again, his arms are open. I've been thinking last week, actually, the priest about the elder son, but about the father in the parable of the prodigal son. And the son thought he had to do something to earn the father's forgiveness. The father's arms were open, and he says to him, come. And for we who are Christians here this evening, let us persevere. Though life can be unfair, at times it can be very difficult, and at times it can be very painful. Let us persevere, and let us devote our lives to Christ, for this is the whole duty of man. Amen.